The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
There goes the Daverhood. Welcome, mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, not-so-great-grandmothers, other mothers, stepmothers, schlepmothers. And there's always some evil mothers who'll tell you that life is just a dive, but not while you dive into Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, music, and talk radio, every Thursday night at 7 on AM 1240 WGBB in Freeport, Long Island. Produced by Total Theater, brought to you by our sponsor, Berkshire Financial Group, those nice folks at easymoney.com for all your mortgage needs, and our advertisers, the tasty Tandoor Grill and the multifaceted Minuteman Press of Hewlett. I'm Dave, Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, journalist, humorist, and music aficionado, and Dave's Gone By is the place where, once a week, I get to share my music, make my jokes, score some political points, brown nose the occasional celebrity, and basically create a radio program that is, for better or worse, different from every other radio show. Oh, sure, it has elements of a dozen different radio programs and TV shows. It's not like I can reinvent the wheel or even the radio dial, but I like to think I put it all together with a certain personality, a wry comic panache, a sarcastic but humane outlook that... Oh, no, wait, that's Jon Stewart. I'm more of a cranky idiot. But still, I do the best show I can every week, and I've done 74 of them so far, so must be doing something right, begging the sponsors for money. But, you know, the thing that makes this show different, the thing that makes it unique, is that it's varied. It's not just one thing. It's not just political yak-yak. Not just a DJ spinning records. Not a goofy morning zoo. It's not a standard interview format. That's the beauty part. Every week we try to add something new, something fun. And week to week, we try to vary the content. For example, 2 weeks ago, we had a program devoted to Indian music. Last week, our guest was a theater critic. Tonight, we mix it up a bit. We've got the news gone by, of course, our flagship segment. This week we have stories about the American Secretary of State, the Japanese Minister of Agriculture, a fading smile, an obsolete car, some lines about Nightline, and some words about Big Bird. But that's just one slice of this remarkable program pie. We also have the return of one of our most popular segments, the World Weird Web. That's where we look at a site on the internet that's odd or intriguing or amusing. We have one tonight that is all three and then some. I won't give it away now, except to say that the Colonel would probably jump back to life if he saw this. Now, that's the World Weird Web, and we'll get to it in a couple of minutes, but even that doesn't encompass the whole length and breadth of our show this week, because there's also music and kind of a contest. This being a few days before Mother's Day, I wanted to do something special, not only for my mom and mom-in-law, but for all the mothers in the neighborhood. I was going to play a couple of nice mother songs, but I was feeling adventurous and playful with my equipment, which at my age doesn't happen that often. But no, I hooked up my mini-discs and my CDs and put together a compilation medley, snippets of more than 40 songs in less than 10 minutes, the Mama Medley. And it's not only a tribute, it's trivia. See how many you can name. And I'm making this offer. If you identify at least 20 of the song titles or 30 of the performers, you qualify to win a CD copy of this program. So, get a pen and pencil. That's coming in a half hour or so. But keep it here until then with the usual proviso. If you have kids, that's cool. There's nothing on this program that will stunt their progress or progress their stunts. But be aware that we do tackle a lot of different topics and jokes, some of them a shade off the beaten color. Nothing for the FCC to get greedy about, but as a precaution, we do say that this program is rated DGB-13, the Dave's Gone By equivalent of PG-13, the age of bar mitzvah, the age of early manhood, and of course, the age of retirement in Neverland. But I'm not retiring here, no sir. I am just getting started with episode number 75 of Dave's Gone By, Mama Rama. After two little commercials, we'll begin with a World Weird Web right after we return.
Before you go to the box office, before you spend your hard-earned money on a Broadway show, do the research. With theater tickets topping $100, why not invest the time to see if you want to see it? Read Performing Arts Insider, your guide to all of New York theater, with timely listings, reviews, rumors, everything you need to know before you go. Performing Arts Insider. Single issues and subscriptions available from TotalTheater.com or call 516-295-1511. And now, the GBB Weekend Medley. Long Island's dating, Friday 6 o'clock. Bonnie D. Graham with lots of singles talk. She takes her phone calls and interviews her guests. Long Island's dating, cause Bonnie is the best. Redman Music Show, Mr. Redman Music Show. 7:30 Saturday night, independent music makes you feel alright. On the Redman Music Show, is the place where you should go. Sundays at 7, make sure that you are home. For fast-paced right-wing politics, your world with Joe Sal's own. He tries to keep an open mind and sort out what is true. If you like a good debate, then Joe Sal's own's for you. Long Island's Dating, Fridays at 6, Redman, Saturdays at 7:30, and Joe Sal's own, Sundays at 7. Make it music to your ears.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, brought to you by Berkshire Financial Group on this Thursday evening, and time for a segment that we like to do now and again, more now than again, World Weird Web. That's just what it sounds like. We go to different places, weird, wild, wonderful, odd, funny, useful, helpful, strange, on the internet, and we give you the URL, and we tell you why you should spend your time surfing there and clicking and pointing and going, oh my god, I can't believe someone took the time to do this, to design it, to put it on the web, and put it out there for everybody to see. And this time, well, you're not going to believe, A, the site itself, and probably even more so, B, the folks who are responsible for it. Interactivity has been one of the key features of website development over the past few years. Now, as things have developed, people have webcams, and they have audio streams, and the interactivity and connectivity has really gone hand in hand. Well, they have come up with something now that pushes the boundaries of all this, and if you don't know the trick, it's actually really, really creepy, funny creepy, but still kind of creepy. Here's the URL, www.subservientchicken.com. I'll repeat that, www.subservientchicken.com. S-E-R-V-I-E-N-T chicken.com. It is exactly what it says it is. You go to this website, and once you log on, you'll see a room with a large red sectional sofa, a couple of lamps, a little table, and standing in the middle of the room, a man in a very, very large chicken suit. Head to foot, you can't see a face. Can't see anything. He is completely a chicken. And he stands there. And he stands there and stands there. Sometimes he'll mop his brow with his wing. But what he's doing is waiting. He's waiting for you to tell him what to do. You give him commands. There's a little line where you can type in the command of what the chicken should do, and he will obey. So you tell him to sit. He walks over to the couch, and he sits. If you tell him to squat, he'll do that. Shake his wing, he'll do that. Turn around, he'll do that. Shake his tush, yep, he will do that too. And it's weird, because I was told about this website. I received an email from an old friend of mine, Christine, and I thank her very, very much for sending this. And maybe I shouldn't thank her, because the one thing she said was, as soon as she came across this website, the first person she thought of was me. And I don't know whether to take that as a compliment or not, but either way, I'm sure glad she did, because I rushed right over to the site, and she had sent this to other people as well. So I figured, now wait a minute, how can this chicken be obeying my commands and everybody else's commands at the same time if he's only one chicken and it's live, because, you know, it's not like there's this repertory of things that are all automatically logged in there and follow one after the other. He is responding. You're telling him what to do. You can tell him to dance, and he'll dance, and not only that, he'll try and trick him. Like, one time I said, dance the Macarena, and then another time I just wrote the word dance. And he did two different dances, which, that got me really freaked, because I was wondering, is there real artificial intelligence here? And you want to know the secret? Well, I'll tell you the secret in a little bit, but some things you should know is that it will not do everything. It is a PG-rated website. So if you tell the chicken to do something naughty, it will either stand there, do nothing, or, this is really cool, it'll come up right to the lens of the camera and waggle its finger at you, saying, like, no, no, no. You know, I tried to do stepping in dog blank, and he wagged his finger because it's a naughty word. And then I said, stepping in dog crap, I think. And he wouldn't obey that either. And then I just wrote dog do. And I guess it recognized the word dog because it got on its hind legs and walked around the room and did lift its legs once or twice to you know, imitate peeing. So there are certain things that the chicken will do for you. He did not understand the word lamp, which I'm kind of surprised at. I told him to go shut off the lamp that was on, but didn't move. So, obviously, it is not live. Obviously, this isn't just a chicken, like, you know, a live sexual webcam thing where they're just waiting for you to tell them what to do. If you go on to another website called Snopes.com, I'll give you the whole URL, Snopes.com/business/market/chicken.asp. It's snopes.com/business/market/chicken.asp, and, you know, slashes in between. He'll explain that, and it says that what's happening is on the website they've coded in 300 different actions that the chicken can do, and each is triggered by different parts of speech. So among the things on the list that people have said and that it can do is dance like an Egyptian, waddle, do the hokey pokey, imitate, are you looking at me? Are you looking at me? River dance, it pukes. That's very funny. I checked that one. Moonwalk, imitate an elephant. It says that it'll grab its crotch, but it won't. It'll give you the finger wag instead. Kung Fu, shake your booty, take a hostage. And also, if you type the words Crispin or Boguski, B-O-G-U-S-K-Y, it gives you a nice thumbs-up sign. That's an in-joke, because Crispin and Boguski and something else were the advertising firm that came up with the whole idea. Now, yes, this is an advertising firm. This isn't just some weird guy at home on his little website. This advertising firm was hired by Burger King. Yep, they're the folks who are in charge of and commissioned this ad agency to come up with something really weird and cool, and they did. So ServingChicken.com even has a link to Burger King on it. It's a real thing. Burger King advertises the website on its commercials, and apparently the whole point is that if you go to Burger King, you have it your way. You know, the chicken is the way you want it, and this is a site where the chicken does what you want. So, pretty amazing stuff. ServingChicken.com, and Burger King spokesman Blake Lewis said, quote, "The intent here is to speak specifically to young adults in their 20s and 30s. These are people that are very internet savvy, and they're very active. They may not mirror a lot of the traditional TV, newspaper, or radio consumption patterns that older adults have come to adopt. Now, according to Burger King, this website has had nearly 20 million hits, with people averaging 6 minutes a time controlling this subservient bird." So again, if you want to learn all about it, like the list of words that the chicken recognizes, the ones it won't do anything about, and they even have, if you really want to cheat, a whole list of all the different tape loops or digital loops of the different things that the chicken does one after the other. Just click on them there, and you don't have to tell it to do it. Go to Snopes.com, snopes.com/business/market/chicken.asp. But if you just want to be amazed first and not have it spoiled and just go for the gusto, www.subservientchicken.com. It's quite a lot of fun, and we are going to have still more fun on this show because we'll be back with more Foul Play right after this.
By now, I hope you've all had a chance to try the Tandoor Grill Indian Restaurant in Rockville Center and its delicious appetizers and main courses of lamb, chicken, and fish. Now it's time to bring 300 of your friends, because downstairs they've opened the Bollywood Lounge, perfect for catering and parties. The Tandoor Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center, 516-766-4440. See the Indialicious menu at TandoorGrill.com. Okay, folks, you've all seen the news. The economy's picking up, but inflation's also starting to rise, and we've seen the bottoming out of interest rates. If you've been waiting for the last minute to buy that house, refinance that mortgage, or lock in that home equity loan, this is the last minute. In fact, it's past the last minute. The last minute was a minute ago. But it's not too late. Not if you have Berkshire Financial Group on your side. At Berkshire Financial, it's all about customer service. It's all about caring for the client. And they do it by meeting your financial needs. Berkshire Financial Group is a licensed mortgage banker in New York State, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Connecticut banking departments. If you go to their website, easymoney.com, you can read their mission statement. Yes, they mention having competitive rates and up-to-date technology, but the president of the company also stresses in the last paragraph, quote, "We have instilled a sense of integrity and loyalty in our staff." That's what makes Berkshire different from all the other bankers. It's why you should contact them instead of some too-good-to-be-true TV offer or some newspaper ad that has fine print you can't read without a microscope. Berkshire Financial gives you the rates, the care, and the quality. Log on to their website, easymoney.com, and see what they can do for you, whether it's home improvements, mortgage reductions, or buying your first condo. You can even pop some numbers into their mortgage calculator and see for yourself what Berkshire Financial Group can do for you. They have a toll-free number, 866-500-5055. That's 866-500-5055. Visit their Staten Island office and mention Dave's Gone By for a cute free gift. Not a free mortgage, just a pen or a bag or something, but something cute. 866-500-5055, Berkshire Financial Group, putting your needs first.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, sponsored by Berkshire Financial Group. Find them at easymoney.com. And you will find me on AM 1240 WGBB on this Thursday, May 6th. Time for the News Gone By. Look at events of the past week from a matriarchal perspective. In war news, Secretary of State Colin Powell responded to polls that show Americans have slowly but surely been losing confidence in the war effort as casualties mount, especially in April, which was the bloodiest month since we went into Iraq. The support has proportionally decreased, which led Powell to say, quote, "Obviously, when casualties are going up, this causes people to stop and think and reflect, what are we doing? And you can expect this to be reflected in the polls," unquote. Okay, let's listen, really listen, to what Powell just said. Quote, "When casualties are going up, this causes people to stop and think and reflect, and they ask, what are we doing?" So correct me if I'm wrong, but the Secretary of State seems to be saying that people were for the war so long as they didn't stop to actually think about it. People just went along with what the government said. But as soon as they truly began to consider that war means death and loss and huge deficits and worldwide dissent, well, gee, the approval rating went down. Powell is basically admitting to the fact that so long as the American people didn't ask, what are we doing, it didn't matter what they were doing. Powell added, quote, "Once we deal with this current difficult situation, people will recognize that we are on top of it, and the polls will reflect that," unquote. Notice he doesn't say, once they understand why we're really there, or once we find the weapons of mass destruction, or once we prove that Saddam Hussein was connected to 9/11, No. He just says, basically, once we kill more Iraqis and get the situation under tight control again, the American people will look the other way and go back to concentrating on Janet Jackson and the Swan. Which is absolutely infuriating because, of course, he'd be right. I mean, look what happened on Nightline last week. Ted Koppel decided to take an entire program and just read names. The 700 and something names of American soldiers killed so far in the Iraq War. At roughly 3 seconds a name, ABC even allowed an extra 10 minutes to squeeze all the dead in between commercials. Now, there's no question this is a political act. This is a way of saying, without directly saying, that although we haven't lost 56,000 troops the way we did in Vietnam, we've lost 700, which sounds small, which is small for a war, but it's not small for the mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers of 18-year-old boys. Boys who just got out of high school and felt that their best shot at making it in this world was serving their country's armed forces. And Ted Koppel must have known that merely hearing the generic number 725 is not the same as hearing 725 names recited one after the other, with their faces shown as well. It's the reason people come to Ellis Island or check their heritage at the Mormon Center in Salt Lake City. It's the power of all those names, everyone an individual, and assumedly of some value in his time, but also an incredibly small part of the big parade, alive or dead. Is the reason the Vietnam War Memorial in D.C. was so powerful. It wasn't just an obelisk or whatever. It's an obelisk with names on it. And you can tell people that nearly 500,000 Americans have died from AIDS since the disease was diagnosed. Fine. It's a number. It sounds scary, impressive. But when they rolled out that AIDS quilt with 44,000 panels on it, and every square represented a real person memorialized by a friend or loved one, the power of that was overwhelming. So, the Nightline crew are no fools, and I'm sure they realized that reading the names of dead American boys would be a political statement, one that, for most people, would be construed as anti-war. Now, this partisanship irked the folks at Sinclair Broadcast Group, Incorporated. They're a Maryland-based television chain with ABC affiliates in seven cities. And they felt that this seemingly objective reading of names was a very subjective act of political dissent. All well and good. Everyone's entitled to an opinion, only they denied viewers the opportunity to make their own opinions. Sinclair Broadcast and their president, David Smith, pulled the episode of Nightline, yanked it off the air, made it unavailable in seven cities. Instead, they put on a documentary with what they felt was a more balanced view of the Iraqi conflict. Now, granted, they own the stations. They can play what they want. Just because they're carrying the ABC lineup doesn't mean they can't put on Leave It to Beaver instead of Jimmy Kimmel, so long as they own the rights. But there is a certain obligation to the viewer, an expectation of public trust from a company lucky enough to own stations on the free broadcast airwaves. So the move to nix Nightline immediately sparked controversy and cries of censorship. Senator John McCain, who has gone after Sinclair Broadcasting before for other reasons involving their lack of truly local news, John McCain, a former prisoner of war, let's not forget, he wrote to David Smith telling him, quote, "Your decision to deny your viewers an opportunity to be reminded of war's terrible costs in all their heartbreaking detail is a gross disservice to the public and to the men and women of the armed forces. It is unpatriotic and deeply offensive," unquote. Now, on the Sinclair homepage, Smith wrote an open letter back to McCain defending his decision and saying that Nightline was being irresponsible because it was showing only the downside of the war, the death, and not the nation-building, the anti-terrorism, the removal of Saddam, etc. And again, in my personal opinion, I see his point that the reading of a litany of names can be a subjective political act. But sir, who says every TV show has to be objective? Nightline isn't the nightly news. It isn't a raw news feed or a purely factual clearinghouse of current events. It's a news and opinion program with interviews and ostensibly a point of view. If you feel that they're not showing every point of view, don't preempt it, show it, and then show another program that gives your side. I mean, how freaking hard is that? And the real irony is, how funny is this right-wing assumption that reading names of the dead can only be construed as a left-wing anti-war gimmick? If they felt this were truly a just and necessary and honorable war, wouldn't that simply be a proud reminder of Americans giving of themselves for the safety and freedom of this nation? Shouldn't they read an updated list every week to show how many promising young men chose to join the military and fight in Iraq because they felt it was right? But no, all it is a liberal gambit to show that war is hell and that too many kids come home dead. As if that were a controversial statement. Heck, you can say that about everything from the War of Independence to World War II. And one last thing. While I'm on my soapbox, or soap casket, David Smith, the president of Sinclair Broadcasting, also says on its website that Nightline is being selective in its list. They read the names of soldiers killed in Iraq, but not civilians killed in the terrorist attacks, a.k.a. the nearly 3,000 people murdered at the World Trade Center and Pentagon on September 11th. Sounds like a reasonable point, except, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not wrong, because I was watching TV on September 11th, 2002, 1 year to the day after the bombings, and I recall very clearly Mayor Bloomberg and a lot of other people standing on a dais and reading name after name after name after name of terrorist victims. And it was on pretty much every channel. Dollars to Donuts, it was on ABC. And Donuts to Dollars, it was on the ABC affiliates owned by Sinclair. So shut up, David Smith, and screw you, Sinclair Broadcast Group, and your right-wing, bush-licking, arrogant suppression. Maybe you should do your own TV show, where all the guy does is read a list of angry New York Jewish perceived leftists. Put me at the top of the list, guys, and you can even download my picture off the Dave's Gone By website. But meanwhile, I'll be making a list of dangerously stupid people with too much power in this country. Now, I hope to read it on this show, maybe just before election time, and I don't think David Smith will make the top five. Those are reserved for the White House. But he had a whole 6 months to censor somebody else and curtail another show's free speech, so I bet he comes through in the top 10. Oh, and speaking of corporate arrogance, Dow Chemical Company, who have also killed a few hundred Americans in their time, well, Dow has had a very good financial quarter. Their first quarter profit for 2004 was 6 times that of last year. They saw improvements across the board in price, volume, and productivity, with earnings up 50 cents a share. So, how are they celebrating? You got it. They're cutting 3,000 jobs, 6.5% of its global workforce. This, on top of the 3,500 employees they fired last year, which of course allowed them to have such big profits this year. Dow still employs more than 46,000 people, but according to the latest company prospectus, they feel they can bump their profit to the $3 a share range. All they have to do is fire another 45,000 workers, making 900 of the remaining workers temps, and then restructure the last 100 on an hourly basis. They can then move the entire company into a small shed, which will hopefully come with at least a year's free rent, courtesy of the Malaysian government. The workers' union at Dow has objected to some of these changes, but they're willing to compromise. If Dow keeps 2,000 workers, they're willing to cut health benefits down to 3 Band-Aids, a nail clipper, and 1 fresh bottle of iodine a month. Speaking of cutting your losses, let's hear it for the Minister of Agriculture of Japan. Hideyuki Shimada. He had a tough call to make a few weeks ago when hundreds of thousands of chickens, very subservient ones, I assume, had to be euthanized. A deadly outbreak of bird flu led to that decision, which was not made lightly. Shimada held a funeral service for the dead birds with flowers and an altar, and he said, quote, "We want to express our regret to the chickens for having to kill them," unquote. As dumb as that all sounds, I think it's a lovely idea. Kind of a twist on saying grace before meals, thanking the animals for being so understanding about carnivorousness. When he was asked if the chickens would be buried or cremated, Shimada said it was a compromise. Instead of being covered with earth, they'll be submerged in spicy breadcrumbs, and instead of being burned completely, they'll just be kept in the ovens at 400 degrees for an hour and a half.
Everybody get yours! Cruising down the boulevard, I treat it like some superstar. You know the time, so don't look hard. Get with it, the ultimate homeboy car. All your suckers in the other rides, wherever I'm coming, get to my side. My 98 is tough to take. If you're on my tail, better watch your face. Smoke is coming when I burn, rubber when my wheel turn. I take with a soul super bad, looking like the color green hornet.
Gone by, say goodbye to yet another American classic. Gone the way of the Polo Grounds and Abraham and Strauss and Pan Am, time to glance in the rearview mirror at Oldsmobile. In Lansing, Michigan last week, the last Oldsmobile car rolled off the assembly line, 35.2 million vehicles since the first, constructed by Ransom E. Olds in 1897. They were fairly big mid-sized cars, a little more expensive than Chevys, but not quite luxury class. The last decade saw the company losing a lot of market share to minivans and SUVs. It also didn't help bring hip young people to the showroom when a car their grandparents owned was still called an Olds. As for company employees, they'll be reassigned to other GM cars like Pontiacs and Caddies, but I think we're going to miss that little slice of automobile history. Oldsmobile dealer Leo Jerome griped about the phase-out to the Detroit Free Press. He said, quote, "The whole thing was misconceived and poorly handled. Why didn't they combine Saturn and Oldsmobile? Or why did they have to add Saab and Hummer?" Well, I can't answer all those questions, really, but when was the last time any guy turned down a Hummer? Speaking of which, a German auto magazine conducted a poll with the results showing that men who own BMWs get more sex than drivers of any other car. Respondents said they had sex an average of 2.2 times a week. That figure barely inches past the Audi, where male drivers got nookie 2.1 times a week. Lowest on the list was the Porsche at 1.4 times a week, which I guess is why women always look for guys who drive Porsches. More money for less work, or is that less bang for the buck? But no, asked why BMWs were such a harbinger of sexual activity, a company spokesperson said, "It's obvious. Look inside a BMW, and what do you see behind the wheel? A prick. And by that I mean a porcupine squill, because, you know, he probably works in a zoo or something." Yeah. Turning to sports news, kind of an embarrassing evening for Jeff Leeper, a former big league right fielder now playing AAA ball for the Indianapolis Indians. Last Thursday night, during a home game against Louisville, Leeper went to the restroom in the fourth inning. After using the dugout facilities, Leeper tried to exit the bathroom, only to discover the door was stuck. He started pounding on it, which was heard by one of his teammates waiting to get in. Unfortunately, he couldn't open the door either. Meanwhile, umpires delayed the game, telling fans that Leeper was, quote, "temporarily detained in the clubhouse," unquote. It was a 20-minute game delay while workmen opened a vent above the door and handed Leeper tools to unscrew the handle. When the poor guy finally took the field again, he got a standing ovation and the roll of toilet paper from the opposing team. The strange part is that after play resumed, Meepher's experiences were pretty much the same he'd had when he first went to the bathroom. He went into a crouch, faced a slider, got forced into a squeeze, and was then wiped out. Also in sports news, Shane Millard, a professional British rugby player, left the field one game to discover an opponent's tooth embedded in his head. Asked what went through his mind when it happened, he said, "I'm not sure, but I think it was two incisors and a molar." Speaking of weapons of mouth destruction, Esteban Palafox, owner of a bodega in Staten Island, caught his 10-year-old son playing hooky. First he shouted at the boy, then he went down to his store and came back with an 18-inch stick of beef jerky, with which he proceeded to beat Esteban Jr. on the thighs, leaving great red bruises and welts. Palafox was charged with assault, endangering the welfare of a child, and criminal possession of a weapon.
You got it.
The beef jerky. Esteban Sr. expressed absolutely no regret over his actions, although he is afraid of going to jail, especially because when he was in his holding cell, his inmates began measuring his anal cavity and pulling their money for a Slim Jim. In art news, worrisome news from the Louvre, where experts have discovered that the Mona Lisa is deteriorating. Perhaps the most famous painting in history was done on a very thin piece of wood that has begun buckling and warping since the last inspection. It's also yellow and badly faded. I'm not saying it's changed the basic layout of the picture, but this is the first time people have noticed that Mona Lisa has both fangs and an afro. From art, we turn to education. Graduating students at Villanova University in Pennsylvania were a little surprised by their commencement speaker. It wasn't a politician or a literary figure or a trustee. Instead, they got Big Bird, Carol Spinney of Sesame Street, to do the honors. Some kids thought it was neat. Others felt it was insulting to have their valedictory delivered by an icon of preschoolers. I don't know. I'm on the side that says it's cool, although Big Bird was never my favorite character. He's probably the most whiny and bland choice of all the Sesame Street puppets and Muppets. And I'm sure his speech to the grads was very sweet and motivational, but wouldn't it have been a real kick to have, say, Cookie Monster? He would be my kind of commencement speaker. And Cookie would be educational for the real world, too, because he represents the me, gotta-have-it-now culture we all live in, especially Republicans. I mean, the way we crave things and then use up the environment that provides them. You know, tree, forest, mountain, number, and then getting totally distraught when he eats it all up and there is no more. I think that would be apt. Or you might get Snuffleupagus to represent the Democrats. I know he looks like an elephant, but he's so slow and depressed and equivocal. He's totally a Dem, and he represents how most humans spend most of their lives. But he'd also put everybody to sleep, so not a good idea. They could get Miss Piggy. That would show, empowerment for all the women, of course. Though she's from The Muppet Show, not Sesame Street. Count Von Count could do the business schools. Bert and Ernie could stump for gay marriage or civil unions. Grover would kick ass. He is so lovable and nuts, he'd have everybody in stitches. The best would have been Kermit. Not the new Kermit with the younger voice, but Jim Henson, the old Kermit. I bet you he would have made people laugh and cry. Just something about his humanity or euphrogity. And let's face it, the best of all would have been Mr. Rogers. Scary to think that in 20 more years they might get Barney. Or considering how media and surveillance will control every aspect of our lives by then, the Teletubbies. Send all those 20-year-olds off into the world with, bye-bye, bye-bye. It's not Kurt Vonnegut, but it'll do. And that's the news gone by for May 6th, 2004. Please send your comments, opinions, and rugby injuries to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. Dave's Gone By, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. And if you want to hear older versions of the News Gone By, remember that they are now available on CD and audio cassette. $14 per disc, $12 per cassette. You'll need a purse after listening to some of these episodes. No, but they're fun. They come in a nice jewel case with track listings and photos. Find out more by visiting the website davesgoneby.com. Remember, there's no apostrophe, and it's not days gone by. It's Dave's Gone By with a V for website, davesgoneby.com. And please, write to me. Let me know if you like the show. Make suggestions, complaints, compliments. Send them all to davesgoneby@AOL.com. As always, we reserve the right to read any comments you make on the air, name withheld upon request. So send letters, cards, gifts, whatever you want, but please, no beef jerky unless we meet after this.
Print it, copy it, send it as a gift. All that and more at Hewlett Minuteman Press. Full-service printer, family-owned and operated since 1975. Photocopying, printing, invitations, engraved gifts. Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. Call 516-569-5577, 569-5577, or on the web at hewlett.minutemanpress.com. Mention Dave's Gone By and get a special price.
Dave's Gone By, brought to you by Berkshire Financial Group on this Thursday, May 6th, 3 days before Mother's Day. So let's all say it together. You ready? Hi, Ma. Love you. Love to Dad also. Thanks for not sending me to live with gypsies. I'm sure you were tempted. But no, I love my mom a lot, and I want to wish her and my terrific mother-in-law and all my matriarchal friends and relatives a most warm and joyous Mother's Day. Wanted to celebrate the miracle of maternity on the show this week. Wasn't sure how. Was thinking of playing a medley of mother-related songs, positive ones, not just rap songs with a compound word cut in half. And immediately, a flood of titles came to me. There are so many about motherhood, parenthood, children leaving, children coming back, kids remembering their moms, moms dismembering their children. So I figured, why not really jog all our memories? So I put together a big old mama medley, song after song, with snippets that run anywhere from half a minute down to less than a second, and I tried to arrange them in a semi-logical, synaptic way. Your job, should you choose to accept it, is to figure out what the songs are. I'd say more than half are pretty familiar, others play long enough to give it away if you know the artist, and then there are a couple of wild cards, one or two are repeated, so here's the contest. There are 40-something different songs. Name 20 of them, email me 20 names of the songs, and you'll get a free CD copy of this program, the one you're listening to. Or, if that's too tough, because the songs are going to be coming at you pretty fast, name 30 of the artists. You don't have to name the songs, just the singers or the bands. 20 songs or 30 performers, email that to me. DaysGoneBy@AOL.com. And if you are one of the first three listeners to get it right, we'll mail you a free CD copy of this episode of Days Gone By. And you can also snail mail the list to Days Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. That's Dave's Gone By, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. Three winners will be chosen at random, but the entries must be correct. So first we'll go through them, separate out the correct contenders, and then we'll pick three at random for the free CD. You have till midnight at the end of Mother's Day, May 9th, so the letter has to be postmarked by the 9th, and your email must be received by us by then. DaveStoneby@AOL.com. So get your number two pencils and non-toxic crayons ready. 20 song titles or 30 of the performers in a mama medley. Hope you enjoy this smother of mothers, this cadre of madres, these oohs and ahs for our mas.
From the Bible to the popular song, there's one theme that we find right along. Of all ideals they hail as good, the most sublime is motherhood.
Motherly love, motherly love, forget about the brotherly and otherly love. Motherly love is just a thing for you. You know your mother's gonna love you till you don't know what to do.
Mamma mia, here I go again. the mama, mama's good to you.
Like to hear about how I met your mother.
Mother knows best in the playground, and I watch her when to leave them alone. And if they don't want to stay, she can make them all play. She knows just when to take them on home. I got a crush on a mother. Maybe we should entangle our lives. My son and my daughter were born from each other, and she's reminding me of all of my wives. Me and all the other mothers are praying that the sun's gonna shine. And if the winos and weirdos appear, carry the
Oh! A million miles for one of your smiles, my mammy. Oh. Mammy, my little mammy. The sun shines east, the sun shines west. I know where the sun shines best. It's on my mammy I'm talking about, nobody else's. My little mammy.
So be sweet and kind to mother, now and then have a chat. Buy her candy or some flowers or a brand new hat. But maybe you had better let it go at that.
Oh, Mama, well, I think it's time I'm leaving.
Mammy, Mammy, I'm coming. Oh, I hope I didn't make you wait. Mammy, Mammy, I'm coming. Oh, Lord, I hope I'm not late. Mammy, Mammy, look at me. Don't you know me? I'm your little baby. I walk a million miles for one of your smiles, my mammy.
Dave's Gone By, closing minutes of this episode devoted to moms and chickens. Does that make me a mother plucker? Don't answer that. But do listen to a couple of other radio programs on this fine station. You know what they are. Bonnie D. Graham hosting Long Island's Dating, Fridays at 6. The Mr. Red Man Music Show. Independent bands, before they get signed, they get heard here. Saturday nights at 7:30. And my good pal, Joe Salzone, Sunday nights at 7 and 11. And give a listen to Joe on Monday nights, too. He's the engineer then, and sometimes he has me on as his guest in the 6 o'clock hour. In fact, this past Monday, I really have to thank him. He had me on at 6. I was his guest again live at 11. And he played a repeat of Days Gone By from 7 to 8, my old time slot. And he may do that from time to time. So listen to Joe Sunday and Monday nights. You never know what he's going to do or whether I'll be doing it with him. Don't go there. But do go to the Tondra Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center for chicken dishes, lamb dishes, vegetarian, breads. See the menu at tondragrill.com. Not tandoori. Tondor. Leave off the last I for Indialicious. And if you want to print their menu and copy it so you can always carry it with you, the place to do that is Hewlett Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island. And if you want your money to work for you the way Hewlett Minuteman will work for you, real estate is still the way to go. And the place to go is Berkshire Financial Group, offices on Long Island, Staten Island, Manhattan, Connecticut. EasyMoney.com is the website, EasyMoney.com. That about wraps up our show for this week. Not sure what next week will bring yet. Probably an interview, as well as the weekly news gone by. Maybe a sketch. Certainly some music. Variety is the spice of Dave. To be part of the Daverhood, get yourself on our mailing list. Every week we send out a funny reminder about the show. To send your screen name to davesgoneby@aol.com. And do visit the Dave's Gone By website, davesgoneby.com, for pictures, song lyrics, information about my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, which is kind of a fun graduation gift, and all you need to know about buying CDs of the program. And hey, if you want to advertise or sponsor a segment of the show, it's easy, really inexpensive and quite effective. So all that info is at the website too, davesgoneby.com. The more you support the program, the better Dave's Gone By can be. And speaking of support, I couldn't ask for more from my wonderful and lovely wife, Joyce. She's a mommy to our beloved doggies. You can see both of them on the website. And she's a fabulous wife to me. So, one last wish to all the wives and mommies listening. Happy Mother's Day on Sunday. And then see you again next Thursday, May 13th, for the 76th episode of Dave's Gone By, the spirit of 76. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Mama said there'd be Daves like this. And gone by.
I will go my way and jump the hedges first. Drink the clear, clean water for to quench my thirst. And I will watch the ferry boats and they'll get high. Against the blue ocean, against tomorrow's sky. And I will walk and talk in gardens all wet with spring. And never, ever, never, ever get so old again. Thank you.